hopefully we are getting closer to a playoff as we speak too. So much going on, absolutely.
And Brent, we've talked for years, and I think we both agree we would like to see an 8-team playoff. I think you agreed, right? Was that what we came to conclusion? 6 or 8 teams? Was something?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And we've talked about this for a long time, and they talked about the proposal of a 16-game season. But overall, to me, I'm a little – I don't want to see 16, and the reason for it is because we also want to keep what makes college football so holy, and that is that every week those games mean something. And an Alabama-LSU or an Oklahoma game when they played Ohio State that year at Baker Mayfield, if one of them loses that, it's like that's great, but – you know they're both going to get in out of 16. So, to me, 8 doesn't ruin that completely. Would you agree with that?
Totally. We're not going to 16, Chad.
It's too much football, too.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That's just a lot of rhetoric. I mean, the committee talked about looking at a 4, 8, 10, 12, and 16-team playoff. But they really don't want a two-semester sport if they go to 16. Now, we may have 16 down the line, but we will either have 6 or we will have 8. And it's significant that the committee actually admitted that they were looking at that and they tipped their hand. Now, I get amused at this. We're not doing anything right now to 2025. We all know good and well these are business people. And if you're going to make a change by 2025, I mean, Chad, you've got to do something by what? Certainly by 2022 or 2023. To work with your TV partners and all that's involved. So, yes, 6 or 8, but something really I think's got to be announced within the next year or so.
Brent, is there a preference that you think the committee should take? Should it go 6 and then eventually go to 8, or do you think just jumping straight to 8 might be the better idea? Maybe if they waited a 2 or 3 years to fully make that change, or would you rather see it go to 6, see how it goes with 6, and then make that jump to 8 if necessary?
I'm okay with either 6 or 8. It just needs to expand from where it is now. It's just really just not accessible to some of these other conferences. I would rather see 8. Frankly, that's probably what we should have done to begin with. And if we would have done that, we would be filling the role. To me, what you've got to do is you've got to have all 5 Power 5 conferences spoken for. And then if you do that, you can have, say, 3 wild cards. The times when you've got Alabama beats Georgia by a field goal in 3 overtimes, well, you've got to account for that, don't you guys? As much as anything else, Chad's team, UCF, a few years ago when they went undefeated, or Cincinnati, they deserve to be in the playoffs. So, look, as an 8 seed, I understand that, but still, they need to go because they deserve that chance and they've earned it.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing, and I wonder what Chad would think about this too, is for me, I think the having all representation of the Power 5 is good, and then maybe picking 3 teams, because I think what you don't want to do, if you have 16, I think the impact of winning your conference goes down significantly, because you might have an SEC team that has 3 losses, and they still get in, and they might not even not only lose the SEC championship game, they might not even be in it, and they still get into the playoffs. So I think you winning your conference, if it were to go to 16, I think it becomes a whole lot less significant in order to pull off a conference.
Right, right. Well, the College Football Playoff Committee is like pretty much everything else in college football. It moves ahead at a snail's pace, like a glacier. Now, we found last year that when we really needed to do it, we could move ahead and we could really be able to get a 10-game schedule and almost drop fat. So, but I'm pretty safe to say, and who I've talked to, what I have seen about this, that if we got 16, it would be another 20 years down the road, or something to that effect. Our next move is people know four doesn't work, so they're going. So yes, it's going to be either six or eight.
Yeah, you're asking me my opinion there, Drew. My opinion would be to end the show right after Brent said UCF was in the playoff. We could just go home and everybody. That's the last part of today's show. But no, when it comes down to looking at the spring games this week, Brent, I'm not going to lie. There was a lot of things going on here locally. I know the UFC fights were in your backyard, and it was crazy to see and exciting to see sports looking like sports again, where those tickets, people in those bleeds were spending $500 to go see the event. So looking at what was going on in the spring game, so I did watch some replays on ESPNU and watched it, South Carolina and Tennessee. I want to get to these two teams because they have brand-new coaches, Shane Beamer and also Josh Heupel, who was at UCF before. What did you think of the newcomers coming in? Because there is going to be some type of opportunity in the East. Georgia and Florida are the teams, but to me, it's not going to come as easy offensively for Florida with Emory Jones. And also with Georgia, they should be the team in front, but when everybody feels like there's the opportunity, you don't have an Alabama or somebody just totally dominating, you feel like you got a shot. But Kentucky and South Carolina have been trying to beat Kentucky. I mean, not Kentucky. South Carolina and Tennessee have been battling with teams with the likes of Kentucky and Missouri, and they want to take that next step. What did you see from the spring games to say that they could do that?
Well, it would be a long time before that happens. I mean, in South Carolina, Luke Doty is your starting quarterback. And I was pleasantly surprised that Shane Beamer went ahead and announced it, simply because a lot of coaches don't do that. You've got backups in Colton Gaithier, Jason Brown, and Connor Jordan. So I think that certainly made a difference. The now Luke Doty started the second half of the Missouri game and was a starter in the last couple of weeks of the season. Wasn't great, but he's had some time. But they don't have the roster guys anywhere near what they need to be. Tennessee is the same way. Tennessee basically rolled up about 1,000 yards on 99 plays. That's what the fans wanted to see. Hendon Hooker, Brian Mayer, Omar Harrison Bailey threw for 500 some passes. What in the world was I tell you about their defense? But the thing is, they had to look the part. Tennessee needed to throw the ball, did exactly what they needed to do. They were exciting. Oh, they had probably in halftime 300 and something yards. But again, that tells you a lot about how bad this defense is. But if Heupel was going to do anything for him, and you followed him at UCF, obviously, Chad, he can give them a competent offense and competent passing game, which is something they really needed. Now, the other team that played that has a chance to actually do something is Texas A&M. And Haynes King looks like he's going to be their quarterback, and I think will probably do a pretty capable job all the way around. And look, A&M's good enough on the line of scrimmage where they could challenge Alabama in College Station. South Carolina and Tennessee aren't even in the same zip code right now as far as a roster as an A&M would be.
Yeah, Brent, that was the one team that I was most intrigued to, you know, to pay attention to this spring was Texas A&M, because they obviously have the whole offensive line, it seems like, to replace. They lost, I think, was four starters, I think, was what they lost, and then Kellen Mond, of course, too. So, in terms of progress, I mean, they seem to be that if there is going to be a challenger to Alabama, that this will be the year that A&M will challenge them. And I mean, I think would you agree that that's the reason why they brought in Jimbo Fisher?
Oh, there's no question. And that look, the clock, and we've said this a couple of times on this segment, the clock really on Jimbo, it just really started last year in that they knew that he had to have some time in order to get a roster, and that basically is what he has done. Bama's challengers this year are going to be LSU and A&M. Now, LSU has a absolute buku of problems on the, shall we say, off the field. And if that doesn't infect them, they will be okay. But if it does, that's going to be a problem. But look, right now, A&M, the only thing A&M really doesn't have, frankly, is a quarterback. So if King could be their quarterback and be sufficient at that position, they would be incredibly dangerous at that point.
He's Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, 1010 XL Radio in Jacksonville, First Coast News and More, joins us every Monday on the show. Brent, we're excited because now that the spring games are over, we get to argue who's good in the NFL draft and wait for some more practices and have some fun this offseason.
Well, and let me also throw this in there that we are on countdown for the preseason magazines. Today is April the 26th. We will have a preseason magazine by, say, May the 15th to the 20th, somewhere in there. I have a more exact date as we get closer, but that's one of those things that helps us pass the time away.
Yes, it does. We're very excited about the magazines. It's sort of like a tradition here in the South of running down to the store and grabbing one, and looking forward to it. And I will we'll look forward to talking next Monday.
Good. Okay, buddy. Take